The grace, mercy, and peace of the triune God be with you all. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Happy April Fool's Day. Does anybody have a birthday today on April 1st other than my own daughter? Yeah, so that's kind of the trifecta right there, right? All together. The magical coincidence of holidays, the sublime and the not so. This hasn't happened since 1945. Did you know that? Since Holy Week also coincided with opening day, that's baseball talk, you need to know that 1945 was also the year that the Detroit Tigers beat the Chicago Cubs in the World Series. Those were the days when ball players had names like Dizzy Trout and Prince Hal Newsome, both of whom were Tigers pitchers. Well, historians of the sport rank the 1945 World Series as one of the worst World Series ever. One commentator, when asked before the series started who he liked in the series, replied, "I don't think either one of them can win it." I just love the convergence of these 2 days. They really belong together because there is a little bit of April Fool's in Easter. In any good joke or any good prank, there is that overturning, there is that surprise, and that's what Easter is. When you get right down to it, it's the overturning of the cosmic tables, right? It's an unexpected upheaval in the old order, the victory of unsurpassable love over loveless power. Easter proclaims, my friends, the truth that while we humans, we will do our darndest to crucify God's love, we cannot keep it dead and buried forever. Out of the tombs of our hope and despair, love will rise. That is the great reversal of Easter Day, that the last will be made first, that the lost will be found, that those of low degree will be made great. All of that is packed into that simple phrase, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen? So in the spirit of this topsy-turvy Easter day, I want to offer you a little challenge. If we're going to worry about anything at all today, and I hope we don't have to worry about a lot of things on Easter day, but if we're going to worry about something, let's worry less about what happened 2,000 years ago. And let's worry more about living as if the resurrection is still happening, as if it is a current event. Clarence Jordan, who's on my list of 20th century saints, once said, so eloquent, "The proof that God raised Jesus from the dead is not the empty tomb, but the full hearts of transformed disciples. The crowning evidence that Jesus lives is not a vacant grave, but a spirit-filled fellowship. Not a rolled away stone, but a carried away church." Jordan was born in Talbotton, Georgia in 1912, and he and his family were active members of the Southern Baptist Church there. And in that church, Jordan caught a vision of racial equality, of what it could be like. It stood in stark contrast to what he experienced outside of his church, which was segregation and discrimination and Jim Crow. After his formal schooling, which included a PhD in the New Testament, Jordan began plans to create what he would call Koinonia Farms. It would be, he said, a demonstration plot for the kingdom of God. And I think he meant plot in both senses of the word, a plot of land and a plot, right? Some of you know Habitat for Humanity grew out of Koinonia Farms. Any Habitat veterans out there? I know you're shy to raise your hand because you think somebody's going to take your name down, right? Sign her up. So Jordan purchased about 400 acres near Americus, Georgia, and he began this practice of inviting the workers on the farm to eat together, work together, live together, irrespective of their race. This was 1942. This was in the South. There were so many confrontations between local residents and the farm. One of Jordan's favorite questions for those who proclaimed their loyalty to their Southern heritage was, "Your choice seems quite clear to me. It's whether you will follow your granddaddy or whether you will follow Jesus." Now, when I first read that story about Jordan and Koinonia Farm, it was years ago, and it kind of seemed, at that time when I read it, it seemed sort of like old news to me. Like, this is ancient history. These are things that happened way in the past, and we've moved on, right? In light of recent events, in light of Charlottesville, sadly, Jordan's question to me has taken on a new relevance. It has a new contemporaneity to it. Who are we going to follow? Church, who are we going to follow? To quote Messiah, are we going to follow the kingdoms of this world, or are we going to follow the kingdom of Jesus? This is all part of that Easter turnabout. Thank you. We thought Easter was about just believing some things to be true, but it's really about you and me. It's about us partnering with God to live into a world that is broken open by resurrection. Easter is a question that pierces us to the core. Will you search for resurrection with all your heart? Will you prepare for it to happen in your life, in the church's life, in the community's life? Will you practice resurrection? I think the poet Wendell Berry had something like this in mind in his poem Manifesto, The Mad Farmer Liberation Front. And here's a little piece of it. So friends, every day do something that won't compute. Love the Lord. Love the world. Work for nothing. Take all that you have and be poor. Love someone who does not deserve it. Denounce the government and embrace the flag. Hope to live in that free republic for which it stands. Give your approval to all you cannot understand. Ask the questions that have no answers. Invest in the millennium. Plant sequoias. Laugh. Laughter is immeasurable. Be joyful even though you have considered all the facts. And the last line, practice resurrection. Berry just artfully expands in this poem the range of what it might look like for us to practice resurrection, to partner with it, to dance with it on so many different levels that are as kaleidoscopic as this bright Easter day. Sometimes I wonder if we miss resurrection, if we kind of scratch our heads over practicing it because we just stumble over the word itself. You know, you just can't get over the ghost stories and the echoes of bodies rising from the grave. If this word resurrection doesn't energize you, if it just gets in the way, then by all means, find another word. There's all kinds of them in our sacred scriptures. New life, rebirth, awakening, renewal, conversion. The other day I was listening to a podcast interview of the poet Naomi Shihab Nye, who now lives in San Antonio and teaches at Texas State University. A few of our students from Texas State, yay. She has a practice of writing something on classroom boards. This is what she writes. You are living in a poem. You are living in a poem. So she was teaching in Japan, and she was explaining to her students what she meant by that. that when you read a poem, you're in a quiet place, you're savoring an image, you're allowing your thoughts to wander with the poem. A young woman who was sitting in her class that day wrote her a note. And Nye said that this note has come to be one of the most significant any student has ever written. Here's what she wrote. Here in Japan, we have a concept called yutori. And it's a kind of living with spaciousness. For example, after you read a poem, you can be in the space of that poem. And it can hold you in its space, and you don't have to explain it. You don't have to paraphrase it. You just hold it. And it allows you to see differently. I love that. I mean, isn't that the invitation of Easter? That although our world looks like Good Friday's awfulness almost every single day, that we are invited to live into a different space, a more expansive space, where the dawn of Easter is breaking, where goodness is stronger than evil, and love is stronger than hate, where light is stronger than darkness, and life is stronger than death. Oh my goodness, how would your days and mine, what would they look like in the expectation of all of that? I remember a time when resurrection broke in right here in the sanctuary. It was on an Easter Sunday. It was about 4 years ago. It was a little frightening because, you know, we talk about resurrection, but you don't actually expect it to happen, right? Although that is the topic of my sermon this morning. Yeah, it was 4 years ago. At the beginning of Holy Week that year, there had been an awful shooting. It was at a Jewish community center in Kansas. And that same day, I got a call from Rabbi Neil Blumhoff. He's the senior rabbi at Congregation Agudas Akim here in Austin. Well, we talked about the shooting and how unimaginably awful it was, and he said that he had called me because two of the victims in the shooting were United Methodists. I was so touched by that, and I didn't tell him my next thought, which was, I wonder if I would have called him if they had been members of the Jewish Community Center. And then Neil asked one of those crazy rabbi questions. Would you like to have, he said, we talked with the president of my congregation and we want to offer you this. Would you like to have your University United Methodist Church Good Friday services in our sanctuary on Friday night? Long pause on my end of the phone. That's so kind, Neil, I said, but you know the story that we tell on Good Friday, right? I mean, it's the one about where, you know, Jesus is killed by the Jews? I know, he said. I know that. But the way I look at the story, this is just Jews arguing with Jews, which happens every waking hour of the day. I'm so glad he said that. We just laughed over that. So what do two congregations do who are brought together in the wake of a horrific shooting? What do? You bear witness to the light. You bear witness to the light. So that's what we did that Holy Week. We exchanged lights. There, Hanukkah Yah was in our sanctuary. It was right over here, right in front of Linda. And it was shining on Easter Sunday. I went over to Congregation Agudas Akim and attended Shabbat services on Saturday morning, and our two candles were front and center in their sanctuary in front of the Ark, where they keep their sacred scriptures, the Torah. Neil spoke about how important it is for our congregations to be joined together in these holy days by light as we try to work together for peace. You know, the images of those candles here and at Agudas Akim, they're seared into my mind. And I remember at that time thinking, I have never seen candles burn quite so brightly. It was the fire of God's passion for a new world. So this Easter, my friends, may you and I seek out resurrection. May we sweep the corners and look under the carpets for its signs. May we expect it around the next turn. May we practice resurrection. Because I'm telling you, the tomb is empty. Jesus is not there anymore. He is on the loose. He's out ahead of us. He's ready to meet us. He is ready to take away our fears and supply us with holy courage. And so we're free now to throw ourselves into God's glad kingdom work of feeding the hungry, of clothing the naked, of welcoming the stranger, for Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. 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 Amen.